So I wonder how many times you have said that you can't believe it's already September, or remarked that the leaves are already changing color, or noted out loud that the days are getting shorter. It's the time of year where we start doing these things, saying these things, and it also means that we're in that time of year where we are already into a new church season. That includes the Faith Walk Festival today and a bulletin that will be growing with numbers of announcements. And as we have been doing in September for the last number of years, we start with a theme that we'll look at for the next few Sundays. And this year, the theme is growing in knowing God. Maybe a good place to start is why that would be important for a theme. And it goes back to the Bible verse that we heard in the call to worship, where Jesus began in his prayer in John 17 saying this, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." In the Inquirer's class that I've taught over the years, at some point in the class, I will ask the question, "So, what is eternal life?" And the answers tend to range from being alive forever, to there's a resurrection, to going to heaven. And then I introduce this verse. Because when you read this verse about what eternal life is, as Jesus talks of it, it has to give you pause for thought. Because what it tells us is that eternal life is not just a status of aliveness. It's not just a place called heaven. Eternal life is knowing God. Not just knowing things about God, but understanding God. Experiencing God, as the Greek word here encompasses. And that makes me want to think a little about this matter of knowing God, if that's what eternal life is, and not simply something that happens after I die that might be predicted or begin now. And that brings us to Psalm 73. Psalm 73 has been for me a very striking psalm. The psalmist has been wrestling with something that more of us can identify with in the words that we didn't read, that Megan didn't lead us in reading, but that start the psalm, and I would encourage you to read through the whole psalm at some point today. The psalmist starts off at the very beginning with a positive statement of faith, maybe simply a gesture of goodwill when he says, "Surely God is good to Israel." But then he goes on to say something like this. He says, "You know what, though? My faith took a bit of a hit, and I almost lost it. Because in spite of what I believed and my religious practices and following a moral compass that God gives, when I looked around and saw that the people who weren't living God's way seemed to be doing pretty well, and in fact, a lot of them seemed to be doing better than me, who seem to have a certain freedom and they spend money the way that they want and they claim a religious dimension to their life, but they do what they want and they don't deal with near the guilt that I do." And he voices an almost haunting fear, as it were, that you get to a point when you've tried to live your life by Christian principles and then you wonder if you could have just gotten away with not doing it God's way. More fun, more possessions, less care about others, even trampling them if you need, if it gets you further ahead. That a pure heart is overrated and just gets in the way of the life you could have led, at least when you look around you and judge by what you see. And some of us, maybe many of us, know a thing or two about that wonder. But then the psalmist discovered something in verses 16 and 17. He writes this, When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Two things happened. The psalmist says he entered the sanctuary of God, and that means he's talking about the place where God is. He came into the presence of God. And then secondly, in that place, he understood again that life is so much bigger than what we see around us and so much deeper when we know God as part of the equation. It was when he got past simply claiming certain beliefs, practicing certain religious rituals, seeing faith as primarily behavior control, it was then when he got past those things that he regained perspective. And he got there when he got connected to God, because faith is about the one who made us. Faith is about what it means to know, to understand, to experience that one. And that's about eternity. Well, then next I want to take you to a story in the Bible in Luke 10 that says something simple and profound about this. A story that I know by heart. I've read it often. I reflect on it often. And yet, oddly enough, together with Psalm 73, I need to keep hearing and reflecting on it to keep my life in perspective. Let me read it for you. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." And there the passage ends. Martha was a busy person. She was a juggler. She had a lot of things up in the air. Not all of us are busy like Martha, though some of us are or can be. But you can appreciate where she was coming from. Jesus and his disciples, 13 hungry men, and she wants to feed them, and so she's busy with it all, and she looks at her sister just sitting there, and she gets angry. And Martha was probably interested in what was happening there in her living room. She believed in Jesus. She trusted what Jesus said and accepted his disciples readily. But she was busy with other things, good things, helpful things. And what's so fascinating is that when Martha can't take it anymore, she kind of blows up. But she doesn't blow up at her sister Mary, but at Jesus. And she asks Jesus if Jesus doesn't care because he's not out there resolving her issues for her, telling her sister to get up and help with the stuff from the kitchen. And on the one hand, it may be a little bit funny because it's silly. But on the other hand, Martha does what it's so easy for any of us to do. When things aren't going well, instead of getting upset at what is wrong with this world and what evil has done to upset everything around us, instead we simply look at God and get upset at God. Or one start wondering if faith really has the answer or whether in vain we've been trying to do it the God way. Or if God really cares, given what's going on. You know. And it's like Jesus says, "Henry, Sandy," you can fill your name in, "you are reacting this way because you're missing the point. Instead of being so busy in the kitchen of life with all the things for you and your children and events or work, you need to make sure you are spending time in the living room, in the sanctuary, in the presence of God. You need to reflect on the fact that life is much deeper than what we see, because if you don't, you might miss the one thing that is needful. The one thing that can't be taken away from you. The one thing that is me. Sanctuary. Knowing God and Jesus, whom he has sent. The one thing that doesn't get taken away. But God also wants that we don't misunderstand that. It's not like it's going to be another duty that we add to the list of religious things we have to do, another behavior that we're commanded to do in addition to managing our behavior under the Ten Commandments as we've looked at throughout the summer. No, faith is about knowing, understanding, experiencing God. And knowing God is about spending time in God's presence, pursuing God, and understanding that God is actually pursuing you. And we find these kinds of things in Scripture, that God made you, that God ordained your days before one of them came to be in order that you would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. God wants Christ to dwell in our hearts through faith, and that our characters become more like Christ, the Christ who dwells in us. And Paul gave that clear message to the people of Athens in the passage Megan read. God, Paul tells them, is not a God of stone or of gold or silver or stone, even if the stone may have 10 commandments written on them. God is not a God of our imagination or our manipulation or shaped by our desires of what we would like him to be. God is real, and eternal life is about knowing him. That's God's desire. And you know, you listen to the language of the psalmist and you realize when you read it that it's not the language of beliefs being listed, but of relationship. And the psalmist switches direction from talking about God to speaking to God. He says to God now, and not simply about his religious experiences, he says to God, I am with you. I am always with you. You hold me. You guide me. And afterward, you will take me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth, there is nothing I desire besides you. And you hear these things and you read these things and we take some time to reflect on them. And as summer winds down and busyness and distractions can ramp up, then I need to hear Jesus say, hey, keep perspective. My presence. Time at my feet. Only one thing is needed, and that's the one that will stay with you for eternity. From God walking with Adam and Eve in the garden, to the psalmist writing in Psalm 139 about not being able to get away from God, to God coming in Jesus Christ to walk among us, to Christ dwelling through a spirit in our hearts through faith, the theme is there throughout Scripture. And the psalmist put it this way, those who are far from you perish, but as for me, it is good to be near God. And you see, that's what we want to be about as church. That's where we need to be as followers of Jesus. You can have all the religions and opinions you want, and you can have all the I's and T's of your confessions dotted and crossed. Near to God. And in the busyness of life or the traditions of life or the hardships of life or the whatever of life, that's the reminder and invitation at the start of another season. And that's what this doesn't just invite us to remember, but invites us to do, to take Christ in, near to God, because that's the point. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, with a structured faith and theology and church, there are many things that we might know. And all of us recognize that there can be times or seasons where we lose sight or perspective of what it is not simply to know things or about things or even about you, but to know you. Spend time in your presence. And yet that's what we do here this morning in a time of worship. It's what we do as we celebrate the supper that you have given. But pretty soon we'll head back out into the world around us. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that as we take you in, as we think about these things, as we hear your call for us to live in your presence and to pursue what that means and know your pursuit of us, that you would bless us in that. And as we take some time in this month to think about growing in faith in knowing you, that you will guide us and affirm that and encourage us and celebrate it. We pray this for ourselves and each other, and that this may be the witness that we then give in our community, because we pray it in your name. Amen.